Is Formula One racing hurting Max's sim career? What race would you sign a contract extension before? Welcome to Tinfoil Helmets, your occasional spicy hot take roundup of all the latest F1 rumors, all with the almost believable conspiracy theories to back them up. Everything here has been carefully researched for hours to make sure it's totally founded in logic, reasoning, and truth. Or not. Who knows? And to start off the podcast, Dominic, would you like to say the name of the Grand Prix today?
No, because I need to open up a web page first to make sure I have this correct. It is the the Formula One MSC Cruises Gran Premio del Made in Italy e del Emilia Romagna 2024.
Very well done. And did we get anything right in our predictions of the MSC Cruises Gran Premio del Made in Italy el del Emilio Romolo Gran Imola?
I think we got nothing right, really. I mean, yes, but no, not really.
No, we swung for the fences and we went straight back to the dugout.
The question is are we still employable by baseball with our batting average, or have we dropped?
Oh, we're
good.
We're still the best batting average since Ted Williams.
That is all I care about, because
is beating Ted Williams?
Anybody, as long as I'm hireable by a baseball team, it means I have a future.
So Max ties Senna's record in the rain. He did tie Senna's record, but it was dry.
Yeah, there was rain at the weekend, just not during any session.
Right. In the rain, on a dampening track, Lewis gets pole. Not even close.
No.
For several reasons. The driver lineup is different than Miami. No. And George will not make it out of Q1. He did.
To my disappointment.
Was it close?
No. He made it all the way to Q3. It was fine.
Yeah. Well, that just because he made it all the way to Q3 doesn't mean it wasn't close getting out of Q1.
There were definitely some moments, I think, actually in Q2 where it was a bit squeaky bum time for everybody. Should we move on to, did anything happen between the races?
A lot less than what happened before Miami.
Yes. This will hopefully let us get through quicker for all of our audience who maybe timed out halfway through the previous episode. We still love you, even if you didn't make it to the end.
Yeah, I was thinking about halfway through Imola today that it was like, oh man, if last week's episode was an hour and a half, this one could be a cool 15 minutes.
Sweet. Let's go for it. Lando apparently only won because Max had a fight with a bollard, which caused his floor to be damaged, which, if everybody saw the internet, was an amazing shot of a car smashing hard into the road and bits of carbon fiber spraying everywhere. But at this point, though, I do have to question, why are we making excuses for Max?
That is true. And what did Max eloquently say? If his mom had balls, she would be his dad?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What if? It's a TV series, not a sport.
I mean, isn't all sport just a TV series? Hello, and welcome to Tinfoil Helmets, the philosophical podcast discussing all the latest stuff.
It is a Venn diagram. You have TV shows and you have sports, but what if is not in the overlap. What if is just a TV show, but sports are also a TV show. So there you go. Should we talk about Toto and his attempt to recreate the Great British Bake Off between an Italian and a Brit?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there was a rumor before the end of the race at Miami that Kimi Antonelli was going to go do a day at Silverstone, and he was going to be baked off against Mick Schumacher. I don't know why they were particularly saying Mick Schumacher, but apparently it changed to George, and so they put him in to see whether Kimi is actually any good. Sadly, there was no data that came out of this. There was no suggestion about whether he was worse, better, different, good, bad, anything about it, which suggests to me, as a good conspiracy podcast, that George did really badly and Kimi looks amazing. This will feed into some decisions that Mercedes made later in the race today. It is also important to note that AMUS, I don't know how to pronounce it, I think German sports magazine, came out and pointed out that George is on a 1+1 contract. His seat is not secure. We might get Kimi. We still might get Seb in that second Mercedes seat.
And just looking at the F2 results from the weekend, Kimi was fourth in the feature race and 10th in the sprints. That's
not great.
Not exactly.
No.
For someone who is being touted as the second coming of a Max Verstappen, he's sixth in the championship standings with the leader almost double his points.
So does the forgiving note for him to give him the opportunity as he jumps straight from F4 to F2? So that's a big jump. And
sure.
Two, I think you pointed out, based on the fact that he had such amazing times at F1 in Imola when he was there like 3 or 4 weeks ago, is he's a young lad and he's not used to the big power without power steering because he's, you know, a bit of a weakling. And so maybe that's what's causing him problems. And that big jump and he's still bulking up, let's give him the benefit of the doubt because, as Toto says, he is the second coming of Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I'm not against like him being the next wonder kid. It's just like...
it seems a bit quick.
Yeah, he's not... Like when Max... I know Max bypassed F2, but man, when he got in an F1 car, it was like, there's a reason he ended up in the main team very quickly, because it's like, if nobody else put him in the main team, he was going to be... It was like when Charles came in with Alfa Romeo all of a sudden, it was like, oh, this kid's pretty good.
Max was Max. He came in with no expectations and like, we're going to give it a shot. Instead, what we've got is somebody trying to construct a narrative around something that may not actually have the meat and bones for it to be hung on. And I think that's going to do him a disservice and may actually harm him from reaching his true talent.
Unless his dad's left him at a gas station a couple times, then he'll be great.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't seen anything about that. Should we talk about Charles's big news?
You mean race engineer plan B?
No, I am talking about the fact that he dropped piano music on his Insta, and it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. I listened to it. It was, you know, it was a bit sad, but, you know, emotive, but it was played well. It was very impressive.
I mean, when Max Verstappen converts more of your poles to wins than you do, yeah, true. It would be true. Would be pretty sad, yeah.
True. This will be great so that both when Lewis realizes the Ferrari still isn't any good next year, and they can drop some cool collabs with some emotive rap mixed with piano music, it will be amazing. They can finally start their post-F1 career.
I was going to say, is it good for putting a verse on top of?
I think it could have been. It could have definitely had some of those beats. I'm not going to try and rap on this show. That is not one of my core skills. The other big news, Tiffany Cromwell tried to kill Bottas. She took him on a gravel track that apparently was truly awful going up because it was a 30% incline, which I assume is pretty bad. And then on the way down, his bones fell apart as they were riding down the other side, and he seemed very displeased with it, which might explain why he buggered off to Italy for the weekend to do a F1 race, and she was left in Scotland. So big news there. Got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, but he's still qualified for Gravel Worlds, and we can't let that one go.
Yeah, he was also seen in the Williams motorhome looking for some coffee. But that's another conversation.
A coffee or a contract?
No, coffee. He said he was running out of coffee, so he went in for some coffee. Maybe it was a mistranslation. Maybe it was an Italian reporter who misheard him and thought he said coffee, and he said contract.
And you know, Valtteri Bottas, he has that weekend open on the F1 schedule for the Gravel World Championships in Belgium. He'll be able to compete. It's between Singapore and US.
Ooh, that's a bit of a mission. That's a bit of a mission to get from Singapore to Belgium to the US.
How do we have a month off in, like, September?
This is the new winter break.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's when Gravel Worlds is. It's 2 weeks.
Oh, he's got a whole month. It's not like it's a two-week gap and he's got to move between...
Okay. No, it's like Singapore 2 weeks, Gravel Worlds 2 weeks, US.
He is good to go.
He's got to do Gravel Worlds.
He's going to rock that.
Maybe we'll do a special Gravel Worlds Tinfoil Helmets podcast.
When we can find who has live coverage, please write in and let us know. Merck can't hold on to anybody in their team anymore. They lost three important people this week. Their head of sporting, who apparently he was in line to replace Toto. He was hired on 18 months ago and was supposedly going to become the team principal after Toto stops going to races. Except now he's gone to Ferrari. The head of aero. I'm not sure why you would hire a Merck aero person. It's because the aero is fine and the suspension is broken. He's also leaving for Ferrari. And then last but not least, the head of chassis performance, which you would also question why anybody would hire them because, like, their suspension's broken. It's because it's the aero that's broken, not the suspension. Is finally going to Ferrari 2. I do question what's going on here.
This to me also reads sometimes as one of those things of, like, you know how in the business world sometimes, like, you don't want to fire somebody, but you make their life a little bit difficult and they choose to leave on their own?
Yes. You manage them out.
Yes, this seems to me like if you need to, like, you don't want to, it looks bad if you fire the person who like, you know, helped you win, what, 7 straight World Constructors Championships or 8, however many they won. That looks bad. But if it's like, oh, you know, we think we're going to go in a different direction, you know, we're like, give somebody else some more responsibilities. Yeah, go doodle your car designs over here in the corner. Oh, that's very good. We're not going to use that, but very good job. Like, I don't know, this to me could also read as, like, it's a great way to clean house without looking like you're cleaning house.
So here's the question, though. That's the third person. I'm sure there's been other people recently who've gone to Ferrari. But the implication here seems to be that Toto managed Lewis out. he decided he didn't want Lewis in the team anymore, and he managed him out and made sure he shuffled him off to somebody, some second-rate team like Ferrari.
Well, it wasn't necessarily Toto, but it was Mercedes definitely did that to Lewis. We talked about that like in our preseason episode of, you know, Lewis getting essentially Mercedes not seeing the value in Lewis being a brand ambassador, given everything he's done in his entire career for Mercedes.
Very suspicious. I do think this is really weird. I'm very curious that you as Ferrari would choose to hire these people, especially as you seem to be mostly going in the right direction. And you're about to hire Adrian Newey anyway, so it's very odd.
Unless you're getting ready to sell all the facilities to Andretti, who already has their own people.
You're suggesting that Mercedes is going to sell their facilities to Andretti?
I'm suggesting that if Mercedes bought the team and then was upset about how well they were doing, put a bunch of money into it, became amazing, still is putting a bunch of money into it, really is not amazing anymore. We've hinted at it for a while that they might not want to be in Mercedes anymore. And I mean, if you have another team that wants to join and you can sell off everything.
So Andretti gets into F1 facilitated by FOM because they don't want the antitrust investigation.
Yeah.
Buys Mercedes, gets into F1.
Yep.
Toto gets to nope out.
Yep.
He gets to say, doesn't have to deal with firing George anymore. It's now Andretti's problem. And they've already signed up Kimi, and Kimi gets left behind because it was not a binding contract for some reason. And who's the American? We're going to put Pato Award in it, right?
Sure. Sure. Even though, isn't he a McLaren driver, not a Andretti driver?
He is at the moment, but he's not in F1, and he'll take his F1 seat where he can get it.
Well, really, or Rossi, he's already driven in F1.
Yep, yep. I think this story has legs. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, but I think it's definitely possible. Speaking of Adrian Newey.
Yes. Well, first we have to speak of Alex Albon.
Well, yes, but the question is which came first, Adrian Newey or Alex Albon?
That is the rumor.
So the rumor, you're suggesting that Newey came first and locked Alex in to a Williams contract to post-2026.
That is a rumor that has been floated out there, that is why Alex signed a contract extension with Williams, is because Williams got Newey.
It could also be that Adrian Newey decided to lock into Williams because he was familiar with Alex Albon's skills from his Red Bull time, and he knows that it's worthy of his time and energy and effort, and because he's such a nice lad.
Either way, that's a Adrian Newey to Williams rumor.
I would be so fascinated to see how this plays out. Because I think I think if you're committing to go fix the Williams car, you are committing to a 5-year journey.
Yeah, but at the same point in time, like, if I had won everything there is to win, which he has, and I don't want to go deal with the Italians and, you know, try to change around the whole culture there and, you know, things like that. I love the idea of, in the budget cap era, can I take arguably the worst team of the last, like, 5 or 6 years combined? Ever since, the 2017 rule changed when the engine stopped being as important. Take that team back to the front of the grid. Can I really do it?
And get your revenge on Frank Williams and Patrick Head.
Yes. And like, we joke a lot about, like, Max side quests. This is the ultimate, like, Adrian side quest.
Yes.
Like, if you're talking about, like, any of, like, the NCAA football games or Madden or something where it's like, oh, get hired as the offensive or the head coach or offensive coordinator at, like, this program and take it back to, like, the national championship. This is, like, the thing to do.
Yes, yes. This is the feel-good story I would like. I still think he's going to end up Ferrari.
This is a 50 gamer point quest right here, achievement right here.
Yeah, I agree. Wholly agree. Yeah. Shall we move on to our next segment?
Well, a couple things. One, you heard a rumor about, or Eddie Jordan said something about Newey going to McLaren.
The yachts. So Eddie Jordan and Adrian Newey were at some very expensive yacht show, selling yachts.
As one does.
As one does. And they were doing an interview with lots of very rich people. And there was a discussion about bicycles. And Eddie Jordan was like, oh, yeah, we're going to get Adrian a new bike was something fancy that I've never heard of. We're going to make sure that Zach puts in his contract. Somebody puts it in a contract, which implies that Eddie, being the manager of Adrian Newey, has already signed the contract with McLaren, which baffles the mind. I don't know why you would do this.
Yeah, of like all the teams on the grid, McLaren's like the last one I would expect to hire Newey. Like, just because it's not that like they couldn't use Newey, and he's worked with them before, but it's they've seemed to finally have everything clicking for them, after years of maybe some management turmoil, they seem to have the right people in the right spots. And like, why would you mess why would you mess with it if it's going well?
If you are on the ascendance and you have a team that is slowly but surely gelling and you're reaping those benefits and the wind tunnel's working now, it's like, it just seems like a terrible idea to go mess with that vibe. The vibe works. Like, let it see what it achieves.
This is the, I'm just going to bring all the sports metaphors in. This is the Herschel Walker trade for the Dallas Cowboys.
Who is Herschel Walker? And I understand who the Dallas Cowboys are, but is he a coach?
Most recently, Herschel Walker was a U.S. Senate candidate from Georgia. But before that, he played football, and specifically, he was a Heisman Trophy-winning running back. He was employed by the Dallas Cowboys. The Minnesota Vikings believed that they were one running back away from winning the Super Bowl, which, in hindsight, they were probably right, but also wrong. So they traded pretty much like three draft classes of high picks away to Dallas for Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker never had that amount of value. And in exchange, the Dallas Cowboys built their 90s dynasty team. Like that, like those picks was like Emmitt Smith, couple big defensive players. Like the reason why the Dallas Cowboys had their 90s dynasty is because of the Herschel Walker trade. It's listed as one of the most lopsided trades in history.
And just to remind me, Dallas Cowboys were successful in Super Bowling in the 90s?
Yes, that's the joke. That was the last time they were successful.
I see. I hear so many people ragging on the Dallas Cowboys that I didn't think they won.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
No, they were successful, but then they weren't.
Okay.
Now the joke is that they weren't.
That's what you get for playing
similar to Williams, they peaked in the 90s.
Cruel, there we but go. True.
Yeah.
You said I had two rumors. What was the other rumor?
Do you want to talk about the splash guards? That seemed so stupid and ineffective.
Oh, yes, the spray guards. They were so ineffective, and they were hilarious, and it makes it look like a wet car. They had two types of splash guards. One that, like, covered the entire wheel and the wheel hub, and it was just like a thing, and it makes it look like a sports car. It's ridiculous. And then they had another one with holes in, which also was terrible, because neither of them fixed any spray issues, and it was just, it turns out that it's because of ground effects. And who would have thought of this? Who could have possibly guessed?
Turns out when you have a ground effect car, it's very good about picking water up off the racetrack, not the wheels.
It's always terrible, and I thought it was interesting that Ferrari did the test run at Fiorano, but it seems ridiculous, and I think at this point somebody just needs to fix it. Like, I don't know how they're going to fix it, but somebody needs to not fix it by slapping covers on wheels. It's ridiculous.
I mean, you with ground effect cars, you really can't fix it, because like, you could cover up the diffuser, but that ruins the point of the diffuser. Like,
The answer is to make sure that cars stay further apart. Wait, that's not right.
Everybody goes out and does 5 laps as fast as they can, and whoever does it in the quickest time wins.
Yes, we should return to the days of yore in F1, where if you have a red flag, they don't just restart the race. They add the times together to calculate where you finish on track. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. So, do specific people still have jobs in our very occasional segment? Should we start out with the big one?
Javi no longer has a job. They've gone with Plan B.
They have gone with Plan B, and it's B for Brian, which is the least Italian name I've ever heard of, but his second name, which I can't remember, is very Italian. But it's interesting. They were surprised by this. People thought it was Charles. Charles is like, I had nothing to do with this. I want to know what he did that he shouldn't have done.
Are they just saving Javi for Lewis next year? No, Javi's going to like WEC, isn't he? He's doing like some WEC stuff.
I don't know. Maybe that's what they're saying, but then he's going to come back and save Lewis, because you know that's exactly the kind of driver that Lewis needs. It's very strange. I'm just surprised that they did it. And I, after seeing the new guy, I actually do think this was a lot of internal discussion where they're like, this is not working, because Brian is super positive and upbeat and giving Charles the support he needs by saying well done every time he breathed.
And doesn't need to check for things?
Correct. It was actually pretty good, and if you look at Charles's performance, it was actually one of his best performances of the weekend relative to his teammate. So maybe the engineer did the job. RB engineering team. By RB, we do mean Red Bull, correct? We don't mean Visa Cash App RB, right?
Then it would have been VCARB.
Okay, I was just checking, because some people are shortening VCARB to RB. But the engineering team at Red Bull Racing have re-signed, except for Jonathan Wheatley, who was trying to get more money by talking to another team. I thought this was pretty interesting, the way they locked this up. And I suspect if I was really smart, they'd have locked this up before it was known that Newey was bouncing.
Or at least around the same time. It's like, oh, we know, we publicly know Nui was bouncing. This at least makes it look that all is right in the ship.
Yes. The other fun stat that was associated with this is Christian Horner came out and said that 220 Merc engineers had switched to Red Bull in the last 2 years, I think. Which, coming back to the point we were discussing earlier about the other three people that they couldn't keep on the record for Mercedes, maybe there's something else going on, because 220 people being managed out, who's going to be left to run the factory at the end of the day? It's going to be Toto. Should we talk about Logan, who appears to be on notice?
I mean, wasn't he on notice from, like, the start of the season?
No. Well, yes, but no, but yes. James Vowles had been like, we have seen improvements, and Logan has tried very hard, and he knows the targets he has to hit. Which feels like, you know, FYI, you could get fired, but just keep going. Good job. Let's everybody hug it out.
This is a performance improvement plan.
Yes, it was the beginning of the performance improvement plan before you know you're on a performance improvement plan. Now he's been told that he's on a performance improvement plan because he's been told that they are talking to other drivers, and he needs to buck his ideas up if he's going to be any good. So it was stunning, but also kind of nice. So give James Vowles credit for not being a total jackass.
He did finish ahead of Alex this weekend.
He did, but only because Alex got on the phone after he'd retired, causing him to be behind Logan, and give him support. He was coaching through the pit wall to Logan Sargeant, including, like, you're going too fast into this corner, you're understeering here, you should use this mode instead. I thought it was, credit to Alex, like, who's clearly got a skills as a driver coach because he helped fix Yuki. But I thought that was pretty, it was pretty loving and caring that he got on the blower and tried to fix it. So I thought that was really interesting, because I don't think there's no expectation of that. And it's not like Logan was, like, almost in the points that he was like, maybe we can get it. It was like, whatever, you're down in the back at the rear end. So Aston Martin's aero team might be looking a bit suspicious, because they bought a boatload of upgrades and it did nothing.
That's not true. They went backwards.
True. It had an impact. It was just not the right type of impact. They should be put on a performance improvement plan. I think it's questionable at this point whether James Vowles is going to keep his job, if only because the car was doing much better last year. Like, the team had made good progress. It had moved forward. And now it turns out that not using Excel to manage things has completely screwed it up. Maybe it's just adaptation time. But remember, when you get rid of Excel, can your body cash the check that your body just wrote?
I need Clippy in my life.
Indeed you do. Last but not least, I think it's important to note that Perez should be placed back on the watch list because he has entered his post-Miami slump, as is traditional.
That's true. We've passed six races into the season. That's all Perez has the bandwidth to cover. Has he considered WEC? That seems perfect.
Yes. Just like everybody we want to get rid of from F1, they should end up in WEC. Except Logan. I think Logan should just start the LSE.
How about Indy Lights?
That'll work. That's a good start for him. Start slow. Get him going again.
The F2 of IndyCar.
Yeah, it feels a little bit more like F3 sometimes. But shall we talk about quali?
Yeah, I mean, cars went around in circles. People were fast.
Yep, I'd say the most standout thing was the fact that Alonso was having a very bad weekend, and it became clear in quali how bad a weekend he was having.
He did Bennett in Q3, or FP3, that didn't help.
He did, which meant he had the non-upgraded bits on his car, which is, I think, really didn't help. But I think he was kind of set off on his vibe. It was interesting, until just after qualifying, he was actually qualified last. Like, he had the slowest time. The only reason he wasn't was because Logan got his lap time deleted.
Which means he was above the 107 or 107% of the pole time rule, and they had to ask special permission to please let Logan race.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was... I was more shocked when I read it until I processed it, because I thought he'd actually got an actual lap time down, and his fastest... I didn't realize he'd had it deleted at that point, or I didn't remember it being deleted. And I was like, man, that would have been really bad. I think the other noteworthy thing is to really talk about the Hulk. A, he nailed it. He did an amazing qualifying job. He put, like, fastest in Q2, I think, or second fastest in Q2. It was really good. And he did pretty reasonable in Q3. But he has been bribed by Max Verstappen to give him a tow. And the statisticians have decided that the Hulk... giving Max a tow gave Max an extra 0.2 seconds on his final lap. If he hadn't had that, he would have been third before Piastri got his time, got a grid penalty for impeding. So,
did you write pastry on our doc?
I must have auto-corrected. I did not intentionally write pastry.
Well, apparently Oscar Pastry got a penalty for impeding.
Yep. Yeah, impeding. I can't remember who it was. It was somebody uninteresting. wasn't very popular. Yeah. But that 2/10, Max is struggling. Max is washed up.
Well, he still tied Senna's record for most consecutive poles.
Because of the Hulk. He required an assist. Did Ayrton Senna require an assist to get his record? I don't think so.
He did it between Spain 88 and USA 89. So I'm going to say yes.
He had an assist?
Yeah, the MP44.
Oh, that doesn't count. I mean, assist from another driver. Or the weather, or a wind machine, or cheating would be the other one. Shall we move on to the race recap?
Oh, why not? Well, for at least when I was trying to watch the race, I didn't get commentary for the first 15 laps because Crofty wasn't there, and I think somebody forgot to push the button that said use the other commentary.
Really?
Yeah, my feed was, like, all it was race car noises for the first 15 laps.
Which service were you watching on?
ESPN and or Hulu.
Interesting, because when I started listening, Karoon, his mic was broken for the first minute. Of like the thing, but they just then fixed his microphone and it was great, and it was fine on the feed that I had, which is it's the Sky International feed,
which is what mine should have been. It should have been the Sky International feed. It was weird. I don't know if somebody at ESPN didn't click the right button or something.
It's distinctly possible
because Crofty and Brundle were not there this weekend.
No, and I don't know how I feel about that. I think Karoon's fine. I think Karoon's a reasonable commentator, but the new guy, oh no,
it was Alex Jacks, wasn't it?
No, Henry somebody or other.
Oh, okay, he was fine. Karoon was good. I like Karoon.
Yeah, Karoon's good. I'd like Karoon to be promoted. I would like Ted and Karoon. I think that could be a awesome combination. But I don't think Ted wants to get out of the pit lane.
No. That's Ted's spot.
Yeah. Should we talk about the important news that Max won the 24-hour sim racing? Even though he had to take a break halfway through to go to do his day job. But at this point, should we question, what is Max's day job? Is Max's day job a sim racer or is it an F1 GP driver?
Max just needs to sell energy drinks. That's his job.
That is true. He is contracted by Red Bull. Nando took the spicy route to this race and decided he was going to change his setup to start from the pit lane, and it didn't help. It was awful. He had a terrible race. Truly awful, despite stopping three times. It was terrible. Terrible. No one took anybody out on the first lap. I was very confused by this.
So, I don't know if this is a proof that the penalty point system is either broken or a success, but Magnussen, K-Mag, like, there were several moments in the race he could have done something spicy, but I think in the back of his mind he's like, if this goes spicy, I'm sitting out.
So if you think F1 is about sport, penalty points have worked. If you think F1 is about entertainment, penalty points have not worked and they've hurt the entertainment value.
Are you actually asking me that question? Do I have to give you an answer?
You do not have to give me an answer. That is 85% rhetorical.
Oh, good. Yeah, I don't know about that. Because, like, on the other hand, you want to think about, like, safety and driver safety, and you don't want somebody clowning around out there who has no interest in self-preservation. You know, especially when we've seen some crashes in the past where, you know, the person who causes the crash is not the one that ends up with the worst situation.
Right. Exactly.
See
exactly.
Everybody who George Russell's crashed into.
Oh, spicy. Spicy, but factually accurate in every possible way. What else went on? Well, after we did the first lap and nobody got hit, it was really boring. The worst thing that happened is poor Alex had a really, really bad race. He decided to stop early for reasons I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what happened. I didn't have commentary.
Oh, you didn't have commentary. So he had reasons I don't understand. He stopped really early. And they put wheels on his car. But then they didn't stay on. And it was loose. And so he drove around very slowly to come back around again and get his wheels fixed. So they put new tires on. But he gets a 10-second penalty because he had an unsafe condition of his car. And also, he had to go to the mediums again because the hards that he had been on, that he'd changed onto early, had been damaged by driving around the track in the wrong way. It was pretty bad, actually. And it was interesting, in the Max Verstappen podcast immediately afterwards, the entire podium setters saw the clip in the cooldown room and instantly knew that his wheel had been put on wrong. They showed the pit stop and they're like, oh, that didn't go on right. And I have watched that twice now and I still can't see what went wrong.
Well, you're just not as fast as a Formula One driver at changing wheels.
Apparently so. And then he eventually retired later in the race, but, you know, such is life.
But after serving his penalty, so he's not going to get hit with an extra penalty in Monaco.
Correct. Poor guy. Bad race. But, you know, it helped Logan, so we'll call it good.
But you know, that's what happens. You sign a contract extension and you have a terrible race.
Yes.
This is why the greats don't sign contract extensions in the middle of the season.
Exactly. That's why Lewis signed his at the before the season even started. So what you got to do. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't sign it before Monaco, that's for certain.
Oh, yeah, definitely don't do that, because then you'll just end up in a wall.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mr. Hamilton, it turns out, in a thing that I refuse to accept, Lewis had the fastest pit stop of the race at 2.12 seconds. And not only was this not just luck, per se, George was third fastest at 2.28, which, what happened? What was Red Bull doing? Why couldn't they change their wheels quickly? Did we just have the alternative B teams on the pit stops this weekend? It's terrible. Anyway, so there's just some pit stops and there's some stuff, and it was very boring, and nothing really happened until we get to the last 10 laps. Did you have commentary by the time we got to the last 10 laps?
Oh yeah, I had commentary from about lap 20 on.
Okay. That's fascinating. That must have been very boring.
It was a bit weird, just because it's like, because it's also one of those, like, I don't need commentary to watch the race, but then you have to, like, really focus on the race. You can't, like, be perusing on your phone or, you know, typing snarky things to your friends about Formula One and then being like, it's like, no, okay, who's that? Which one is that? Okay.
Who's doing what, where, and why?
The weird thing was team radios did come through occasionally.
That's so weird.
Well, it makes sense because essentially it was like because it's the world feed, but without your local commentary, be it the Sky International feed or, you know, whoever's doing something. So it's all the global feed, and the radios always come up on the global feed. So
it's interesting when I watch on F1 TV, when we get to the commercial breaks that Sky has, we get all these replays that fill, like, we don't know it's a commercial break. I just know it because that's what Sky does. But like between Q1 and Q2, Q2, Q3, you get these replays of people doing dumb things. And what's really confusing is when it comes back from the ad break, Sky then replays them again. And so you hear them, but the feed will now play another replay because the F1 international feed is doing a different replay. And it's all so confusing. And I've just learned to accept it. And it's just a thing that happens.
Well, press the red button on your Sky remote to learn more.
If only I had a Sky remote and a red button to learn more about something. So last 10 laps, it got spicy. Because Lando comes on the radio and is told, you're losing time here. And when he says, I can't go any faster. And then proceeds to go a lot faster. And catches up over, 8 laps or so? Really, really closes the gap on Max.
Yeah, I think Lando definitely had the phase of, like, tires bad, tires go back to being good. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen that with the Pirellis of this generation of sometimes they, you know, they go through a graining phase or something. And then they work through it and they're faster again.
Bono, my tires are gone.
Yeah, and to some extent, Max had a little bit of that as well, because he did pick the pace back up, and he did go faster. I mean, Lando was clearly going faster. I'm not entirely sold on if Lando had one more lap, he would have gotten Max, because Imola is a tough track to overtake on. There's only about two overtaking spots, and, you know, Max sets up a really good run through what the last two left-handers, which definitely have a name that I don't remember. You know, and I think it's very hard for Lando to make that up down the home straight with DRS.
Everybody was like, if he had one more lap, and I think if he'd been closer one lap earlier, he would have had a chance. I don't think he would have got it, but I think he would have had a chance because he'd have had the DRS and he could have got him into turn one. But I don't think extending the race metaphorically would have actually helped that much.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and it was not a good race for the tire eaters. Being George and Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar. I think Oscar really kind of got screwed by that. And he's been trying so hard to improve his tires, but that did not work.
I'll give Oscar a pass on his tire management because this is the second full season. The McLaren is finally good, and it's one of those, like, you know, if you're lollygagging around at like 13th, yeah, man, work on your tire management, learn to be better, but like, Oscar sees the finish line, like, right in front of him. Like, you know, he was at second before the penalty for qualifying. And, you know, he's looking at it like, oh, man, if I go faster, I can win. And he hasn't quite learned the to go fast, you must first go a little slower.
Indeed. I also think that because he finally got the full upgrade, there's also giving him that free pass. It's like, it takes a while to adjust to the car. Yeah.
George has no excuses. He's been there for long enough. He should know what's going on.
Yeah, well, this is his sixth season, I think, right? He had three at Williams, and this is his third season at Merck.
Yeah.
And he still doesn't really realize that maybe you don't drive the wheels off the car as soon as you slap those new boots on.
Yeah. Well, Lewis was closing in on him, too. Yeah. Maybe would have overtaken him on merit.
My spicy take is that the reason they pitted George was because they're like, if we let it run out as it's currently running out, Lewis will be right on the back of George. George is going to try to assert dominance, and they're going to take each other off, and this is just not worth the pain and hassle, and they just decided to stop him because then they don't have to deal with it.
And we've seen what George does to Mercedes drivers around Imola when trying to pass.
Exactly. He punts them into oblivion and then claims no responsibility and then hits them on the head and calls them a bad word.
True.
So George was called in to have his tires because he'd been on the radio whining and complaining. And they're like, what was the radio that was basically like, you can come in and change your tires? And he's like, but why? And they're like, because you've been complaining about them. What would you like to do?
Because we're not sure you can make it to the end.
Yeah. And Toto reinforced that after the race when he was asked. He's like, we didn't think George was going to make it to the end on those tires.
And then he had the audacity to ask, will you let Lewis let me back past?
I just loved how quick and curt the response was, no.
Like, you want Lewis to slow down effectively 20 seconds to, like, let you back past?
No.
Yeah. No.
So this plays into Kimi and the George bake-off, is that Kimi destroyed George in the bake-off at Silverstone, and now they're sitting on the pit wall being like, why are we being nice to George? He is not the second coming of Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen. He's like, he's just another driver, so just have to deal with it.
Is Toto Paul Hollywood in this situation?
No.
Okay.
He is...
Is he Noel?
Yes.
Yes!
Because as much as Paul Hollywood is a bit of an... he can be quite unpleasant, there's a certain, like, he respects skill when he sees it, and I'm not sure Toto can tell skill when he sees it.
Ah, yes. The tinfoil helmets, the reason you listed of what Mercedes employees are most like the bake-off.
It's analogies that we can understand. Without those analogies, we don't have a frame of reference. That's how we reason our conspiracy theories, because you just ground them.
But I think, unlike an episode of Bake Off, a team debrief at Mercedes is not going to end in a group hug.
I don't know. Toto would tell you it does. Because it's a no-blame culture.
Maybe they should start assigning a little bit of blame.
A little bit, maybe. A
little bit of blame. I'm all for no-blame cultures, but maybe a little bit of blame. Speaking of a little bit of blame, if you're not following us on social media, we have started to make memes and post them.
We do have memes.
In which case, we posted a Principal Skinner meme of, is it the drive, or is it, what is it? What did we say? Is it my car that's right or wrong? No, it's the drivers. Like,
it's amazing what our meme department can remember a week later.
Hey, it's been a week.
Indeed. And we still have one queued up to post.
Whoa.
Shall we talk about the Ferrari team and their mega upgrade that has since been walked back as no longer is a mega upgrade? It's just a small upgrade, says Carlos. But he can't talk more about it because he knows how it works internally.
I mean, if you decide that changing your exhaust to be the same as the Alpine is the way forward, then yeah, sure, huge upgrade.
Is that one of the things that they did?
Yeah. It's like the singular exhaust. It's like only like Alpine and I think Haas are running it or something like that. I blanked on the other team because I saw like the comparison pictures and it was like, oh, you're copying the Alpine. Okay, that's a bold choice.
That's very strange because they copied the side poddy inlets from Red Bull.
So. You know what? That's the move to get Adrian Newey of, like, look, Adrian, we're trying so hard. We are trying these improvements. We're going in the right direction, right? Adrian, please help us, Adrian. Adrian. Adrian!
Adrian Newey is sitting there, like, Jean-Luc Picard, head in his hand, have been like, fine, I'll just come there and fix it one season and we're done.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It was terrible. They had a terrible race.
Now we established in a previous episode of this podcast that you have not seen The Godfather.
Correct.
Have you seen Rocky?
No.
Oh, okay. So, you know, Rocky standing there in the middle of the boxing ring at the end of Rocky 1 going, Adrian! Yeah. Just crying out for Adrian.
So you're saying Fred Vasseur is basically Sylvester Stallone?
Sure.
Okay, good work. Two other comments on the terrible weekend that Ferrari had, given all the promise at the home race, although it was the first podium for a Ferrari since 2006.
Home race.
Home. It is the closest to Maranello.
Well, tell the Tifosi that in Monza. Actually, this isn't Ferrari's home race. That was back in Imola.
Exactly. That's how it's going to be. It's all very confusing. Anyway, basically the home race for Ferrari is wherever they win. speaking of the Tifosi, they are ready for Lewis. Lewis came out of the Mercedes garage and was like, all right. And the entire crowd was, I kid you not, Lewis, Lewis, Lewis. They were super jazzed for him.
I mean, I would be too. The Kings were jazzed for Wayne Gretzky.
And did he do good for them?
I mean, as good as one person can do on a team sport.
Okay. Did they win? Were they successful?
No.
Okay. Well, that doesn't bode well then. Because I need Lewis to win an Italian track in Italy. Has to happen. Because I want that energy to be like quadrupled.
Yeah, I can see that. I just want to make sure that we're really covering a whole bunch of different sports in our sports analogies.
Because Wayne Gretzky plays in NHL, right?
He used to. He's retired for a while now.
Yes, because he skated to where the puck went, which was to retirement.
Yeah, he probably has the best nickname in all of sports, though.
What is his nickname?
The Great One.
The Great One. Wow.
The Great One, yeah.
That is. Has he not been surpassed since then?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he had a brother who played like three games or something and scored no points. And so your pub trivia bit of stats is what pair of brothers have the most points scored in NHL history? And it's the Gretzky brothers. And Wayne is doing all the work.
Nice. Good work.
The other best hockey nickname would be Gordie Howe, and that's Mr. Hockey.
Okay. I still don't understand who that is. I know who Wayne Gretzky is. So.
Okay. Gordie. He played in like 5 decades of hockey. Of NHL hockey. It's insane.
So, silly question. Why is it called the NHL, National Hockey League? When it encompasses two countries.
It's the national sport of Canada. It's Canadians National League. We just also play in America.
Where it's also the National League.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. They just call it the National Hockey
League. This is like the World Series. You Americans, you think you're all fancy.
We have Toronto. That counts. They've won it twice.
Why isn't it called the National Series then?
I don't know.
Because there's no logic and reason in sport. Unlike this podcast, which is full of logic and reason.
The Japanese won the World Baseball Classic. They're pretty good. Man, the Japanese right now? Oh, they're good.
And does that involve more than one country?
The World Baseball Classic? Yeah, it involves every country.
That plays baseball, which is what, 5?
Surprisingly a lot. Baseball's big in Latin America and also Asia. Like, South Korea loves baseball. Japan loves baseball.
I didn't know South Korea was a baseball country. Fascinating.
Oh, yeah, they love baseball.
Fascinating. Two small items. Max's must be washed up because he was complaining. And lots of memes have now appeared. He apparently had a bad back for most of the race after, because it was very bumpy. And he said he was going to take some pain pills. I hope he's not addicted to them. And ask for a massage because apparently he was in pain.
I think he should double check his race or his endurance racing seat on his motorhome sim rig just to make sure that, you know, that's probably not as comfy as his Formula One seat.
I agree because I feel that is likely what would cause problems because, you know, you're going to be fixed in that one position. At least in the Formula One car, it bounces around and you slide a bit. So, you know, it kind of keeps the blood flowing. Whereas when you just sat in that one place for 3 hours, I don't know. And then last but not least, Charles, while exiting after the press conference, ditched the PR event and was doing no fan things to go straight home early with Leo, the luxurious puppy. I am very curious what's going on here because it seems a bit suspicious given it was Italy and surely the Ferrari PR team are like, it's Imola. You need to do the shenanigans.
Nah, he's already got to go start vibing with the Monaco track to figure out how he's going to screw it up this time.
Oh, yeah, good point. He needs to get home to prepare. His team's 2 weeks to watch that track. I get it. It makes sense.
You got to set up the dark corner to cry in like a week ahead of time. Otherwise, it's just not fully ready.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay, I concede that point.
Speaking of Monaco, I think we should at least mention that in one of the many historical races, exhibitions, or whatever that happens around this point of time, Adrian Newey had an amazing overtake.
I dispute that was an amazing overtake.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
It was an overtake, and it was fun and exciting for him. But the person
at the hairpin.
I know, because the other person went wide and braked too early. He credit to him for like catching onto it and sneaking through. But I don't think that was. He didn't set that up 3 laps beforehand and just straight past the person. The person was clearly having a moment.
Fair enough, but it's also like historical Grand Prix racing, and it's not like it's Charles or Max out there doing this. It's Adrian Newey.
No.
Like,
we expect him to
design the cars, not race the cars.
Zach Brown was there too.
Was he racing?
He was.
Oh, how do you do?
I have no idea.
Yeah, me either.
I watched it for a little bit, and it's very boring. Because nobody's trying, because they do not want to break the $25 million supercar or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. The most exciting part of any of those races is when somebody bends like, this is a 50-year-old car that so-and-so won the world championship in, and you've just wrecked it. Like, that's the best part.
So not to take this into a journey into historical racing, but because there was no real racing actually happening, when I was watching it, all the commentators were doing was like, this is Barry Withers, and he owns a large construction company and is the richest construction company owner in the north of England. And this is Jemima, and Jemima owns a therapy clinic, and she also is the biggest one owning it. And just like, can you talk about the cars and the racing? And they just kept going into like, and he's the son of Lord Montague. And you're like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Lord Montague, you say?
Exactly! Lord Forsyth! That's terrible. Yeah, very good, yes. So, shall we talk about some spicy takes and rumors?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so I'm going to lead with my most spiciest take and my most spiciest... I don't know if it's a rumor, but it is related to rumors. I think Sainz is going to end up with no F1 seat this year because he's refusing to lock down his seat with Audi that Audi really want him for. And he's like, oh, I don't know. And it's got so bad that he's been given till the end of the month to sign that deal. I think this is bad for two reasons. One, I don't know which other seat he thinks he's going to get. Maybe the Red Bull is what he's hanging on for. I don't think we're going to find out before the summer break. And two, even if he signs for Audi now, he's already tainted the relationship and it's already like, I don't think they're going to... Sainz can't be trusted.
One plus one, it's the Merc seat.
Who wants that seat? It's a terrible seat. It's a terrible car. They put upgrades on it and it didn't go anywhere.
What, the Aston Martin?
Yeah, there you go. That's the one we thought he was going to go for, but apparently Fernando locked up. But they signed the wrong Spaniard because he can't drive a car. Because Stroll beat him in a straight fight.
Yeah, straight enough.
My next spicy take is that the reason Red Bull have been iffy is because they all got out of rhythm. Like the Horny Horner situation, it upset the apple cart. It's not because Adrian Newey's leaving, but it just caused them to be off vibe in their rhythm. And I think we're seeing them get a little bit back into it. We'll see what they're like at Monaco. But I think it's a great example of how it's not just what goes in on the team that matters. It's what happens outside the team.
I think Newey leaving probably upset the apple cart a little bit. There's been new rhythms to find. People have new responsibilities. Your mentor is no longer there, and now you have to do it all on your own.
Yeah. So... my last spice taken rumor is Ferrari are not what they used to be. It used to be, and this used to be something you could live by, right? If the Ferrari is not trying to kill you, it's not a Ferrari anymore.
Kill you in what sense?
Just your race, taking you off the track, setting itself on fire.
Inviting you on a ski trip.
Exactly. All of those things. And Ferrari just doesn't do it. They're not spicy enough. It's a car and it goes round and it doesn't really go anywhere. It's not very good.
Fair enough.
So this sucks for Lewis, but you know, such is life.
If they get Newey, who knows?
Indeed, maybe it'll be even spicier than it was in 2022 with those salsa dish side pods.
One thing we didn't talk about was there was a joke on the Formula One joking subreddit of a driver in danger being like Ricardo, Ricardo and Perez were right next to each other on the timings.
Yeah,
that's not good if you're Sergio.
No, I still think it would be a mistake to put Danny in that car. I think they should go left field.
If you want to keep I saw a clip with Karun earlier in the week of he's suggesting that Max sits out in 2026.
I just can't believe that. I can't see that happening.
Sure, but we are a conspiracy theory podcast. We should talk about it. Of the car's still going to be good enough to win in 2025. So stay in 2025. Get your World Drivers Championship number 5. Yay, you've won 5 times. Sit out in 2026. See who got it right, and then like nobody's going to say no to Max, and most likely like in 2026.
Yeah, no,
2027.
Well, yeah. The only case that would be true is I think if Kimi Antonelli nails it in 2026 because the car's not terrible and he's like fantastic, I could see him actually Max struggling to find a seat at in a competitive car, because it won't be Ferrari because they've got Charles and Lewis. I don't think it would be at Mercedes at that point because they've got their winner. They don't need another driver. Like that's what they want, right? He's going to be stuck in a racing point. That's what's going to happen in 2027. He's going to be stuck waiting for the Aston Martin. That's the best seat he's going to be able to get.
Maybe, but all I'm saying is we know Max and Danny vibe really well together.
Right.
And if anything, Imola proved today that the best thing the second Red Bull driver can do is hang out about 20 seconds back and screw up everybody's coming out to pit. and just slow them down with track position, similar to what Perez was doing with what Lando and the Ferraris. So yeah, just put Daniel in the car and just let them vibe.
I just don't think Danny's going to be any better than Perez.
He's not, but it's the case of I think Max likes Danny more than he likes Checo. And if you keep Mac, if you put Danny in the car, maybe Max doesn't want to step away, and he's like, yeah, sure, let's just hang out and chill.
And maybe Max, because he likes Danny, helps Danny solve whatever problems he's got.
Yeah.
So you can have a second place rather than losing the championship, because it turns out the place 2 and 3 is all the other drivers, and you're just stuck.
Fair enough. Do we have predictions for Monaco?
We do! Because it really is Monaco this time, unlike last time where I thought it was Monaco, but it's not. My biggest prediction is that Charles bins it at a crucial moment and embarrasses himself in some way.
Did you just recycle this from the last, like, 5 years?
No.
Okay.
I think it's also going to be a massively boring race, because I think it's going to be even harder to overtake. And to tie into that, no overtakes after the first lap, excluding DNFs and bad pit stops.
What about crashes? Somebody sending it up into Sandoval.
That would be a DNF.
Not necessarily.
Oh, you're saying that as you successfully overtake and you get in front of somebody and then you crash.
Or you push somebody into a wall and everybody else comes through.
I see. I think I would also exclude those.
Okay. So natural overtakes.
Correct, correct. Okay. Correct, correct, correct. I think it's going to be a big fat zero.
Okay. I think my big one is McLaren wins Indy 500.
Wait, that's not this weekend? That's next weekend?
Yeah.
Didn't they all just get it done and wrapped up in one weekend?
Not the Indy 500.
Oh, Lord almighty. Why is every American sport such a production? We complain about F1 taking its time, but it turns up on a Thursday and it's out of there by Sunday night. Boom, problem solved.
TV money?
Ugh, money. They do corrupting call the influence.
Can I convince you to watch the Indy 500 this year?
Is it for free on the internet?
It's for free on NBC.
I don't have NBC.
You don't have NBC?
Nope.
You don't have an antenna?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. I do have NBC at the moment. I have Peacock.
Or is it ABC? No, it's NBC.
If it's on
yeah,
NBC,
oh yeah, it'll be streaming on Peacock.
It'll be on Peacock, so I can give it a I can give it a chance for like 25 seconds before it makes me mad.
Oh, it's good. It's a good race. It's a good race.
What I need, you know what they should do? They should take Crofty and Martin Brundle to do a special British person's commentation on the Indy 500. I would be able to watch that.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay. So, thanks for listening for one more week to our amazing podcast. We're always waiting for your feedback. Write in to feedback@tinfoilhelmets.com and let us know your conspiracies, your feedback, and wants. And also tell your friends to like, rate, listen, and subscribe to Tinfoil Helmets on your favorite podcasting service and YouTube.
And for those curious about YouTube, somebody did end up commenting pineapple, and it was my wife because she found it funny.
I'm disappointed that nobody else who was listening to this chose to do that. You don't even have to watch on YouTube for this offer to be redeemable. You just have to go and say the word squishy wishy at the end of it.
Remember, that's two S's, three Q's.
And a Z.